We're doing the book of Hosea. We're up to the what's called the seventh chapter, the fourth pasuk. As you guys know, the chapters, this division of chapters, is not a Jewish tradition, but rather a Christian tradition. So, I mean, the Christian month divided the chapters of most of Tanakh. That's why we don't refer to them as chapters. In Tehillim, that's our tradition, but the rest of, including Torah, that's not our division. We have a different division in our tradition. If you open up the Koran Tanakh, so in the introduction they explain the tradition we have, how to divide Tanakh. But nonetheless, this is the simplest reference, because Tanakhs are referenced this way. So we do apply the references. And I purposely do not end our learning at the end of a chapter or beginning of a chapter, unless it really makes sense, like in the book of Eov, in the book of Job. So sometimes a chapter ends in the middle of a conversation. So then I don't bother, I take no note of whether it's the beginning or end of a chapter. But sometimes the chapters begin and end when Eov begins talking or his friends begin talking. So then sometimes we take note of the chapters, but they're not our tradition. So that's why you'll see, last week we ended four psukim into the seventh chapter. It makes no difference. They chose to put a chapter here. That's not our tradition. So what we had seen is that the prophet is telling the Jewish people, he said, when I wanted to heal the Jewish people, when I wanted to forgive them, their sins came to testify against them. And then the prophet starts enumerating the sins that prevented God, so to speak, from forgiving them. And we described how this is a tremendous destruction that was imminent. The prophet is describing a destruction which is, in our terminology, is no less than the Shoah, than the Holocaust, because we described last week how we're talking about millions of Jews. The majority of the Jewish people at the time, the majority of the population was wiped out. So the prophet says God, so to speak, wanted to forgive, and yet the sins kept coming back, and God said, I can't. We concluded with Pasuk Gimel, Bera'atam Yisamechu Melech, in their evil ways, when they do evil deeds. So then that's the way they make their king happy. That's what the king wants them to do. Uvechachasheihem, and with their falsehood, Sarim, they make their officers, their governors happy. And now we're up to Pasuk Dalit. Kulam mina'afim kemo tanur bo'era meyofe. They are all living lives of desire, chasing after their friends' wives. Kulam mina'afim, they're running after their friends' wives. Kemo tanur, like an oven, bo'era meyofe, that's still hot from the fact that the baker has been cooking in it. So too within them burns the desire for other people's wives. Yishbot meir milush batzek ad chumtzato. The desire that arouses them to promiscuity. The only time that the oven isn't working is the time that you wait for the dough. Milush batzeik, from when you knead the dough, ad chumtzato, till it rises, like chametz, till the dough rises, the yeast causes it to ferment. So that's called chumtzato, the dough's rising. So when do you find the baker's oven is not at its prime heat? Only those few minutes. So too, they only have moments in their day when they aren't chasing women. So the prophet is saying they're spending their lives chasing after women. There are a few moments in their days that they're not doing it. What are those moments? The moments when they can't. They go to the bathroom, they can't exactly do it. That's what the prophet is saying. Just like the baker always wants his oven hot because he always wants to be baking, there are only moments during the day when he has to spend time kneading the dough and letting it rise. During those moments, he can't use his hot oven. By the same token, they are all minafim, chasing after married women, committing adultery, like the baker's oven. Yom Malkeinu Hechelu Sarim Chamat Miyayin Mashach Yado Lotzitzin. Yom Malkeinu, the day of rejoicing over the king, either the day he was born or the day he was inaugurated. So then, on that day, Hechelu Sarim Chamat Miyayin. That's the day when the officers, his governors, began being ill from the over-intoxication, that they're drinking too much. He's saying from day number one, from the day they appointed their king, Hechelu Sarim Chamat Miyayin. His officers started getting chamat. It can either be the flask that they filled with water. Usually it's called a chemet. Over here it could mean that. That's the day they began drinking with them wine. It's like one long party. Their attitude to authority, their attitude to their position is, it's a position to take advantage of. If we're up here, it's so that we'll drink and party. Mashach yado. The king pulled his hand back from fulfilling his responsibility. Et lotzitzim, to be with jokers, to spend his time partying. The word letz in Hebrew is a joker. We look at it derogatorily. We don't view it positively, someone who's a joker. There's simcha and there's schok. Simcha is happiness. That's true happiness. That stems from productivity. Then there's schok and kalut rosh, that's lightheaded joking. There's letz. Letz is the joker who can't take serious things seriously. He's always making fun. That's not positive. So the king, Mashach Yado, he pulled his hand back from his responsibilities of taking care of the nation. Et lo tzitzim, to be with jokers, to spend his time partying and drinking. Pasuk Vav. Ki kerevu chatanu libam be'obam kol halayla yashen ofeyem. Boker uvoel keish lehavam. They prepared their hearts to ambush one another, just like a guy who's preparing his oven. He prepares. He has to prepare the oven, clean out the old coals, prepare the new logs. Ki kerevu chatanu libam. Because they kirvu over here means they prepared their hearts like the oven, the olbam, and they're plotting and they're thinking how they're going to commit adultery. Kol halayla yashen ofehem, the baker, that, remember, he's comparing them to a baker, he sleeps all night, but boker, when the sun rises, he's there early to light up his oven so that he could have the flame ready to cook again. So too, there's a time when they can't get away with their committing adultery. They're just napping, resting, so that they could do it again. Kulam yechamu katanu ve'achelu et shofetihem kol malchayim nafalu in korevahem elai. They all heat up their hearts like this oven. The Navi is talking about the Jewish people. And with their lives, they implicate their judges, the ones who try to rebuke them. There were some among them who tried. Kol malchayim nafalu, that all their kings have fallen, have been killed. And korevahem elai, there's none among them who call to me. All their kings have fallen, doesn't necessarily mean they've literally died, but they've all fallen spiritually. There are none among them who call to me. There are none who pray to me, God says. Who did they kill? Vachlu tshoftehim. So the Chazal tell us that generation murdered the Sanhedrin. The high court was killed by them because the high court told them that they have to change their ways. So they didn't want to hear that. So they killed the high court. They killed the Sanhedrin, the chief rabbis. And that's why God says there's no one left in Korevahem Elai. There are none among them who will call them back to me. Whoever tried to call them and tell them, come back to God, they've killed. Ephraim Ba'amim. Hu yitbolal. Ephraim will mix within the nations. From this verse, There are those that understand that the majority of the Jewish people of that time, the majority of the 10 tribes, intermarried. It wasn't that they were murdered by Sancheriv, they intermarried. Ephraim haya uga bili hafucha. Ephraim is a reference to the 10 tribes. He was like this cake that's baked on coals, that when you don't turn it over from one side to the other, then the part that's on the coal just gets burnt. It doesn't get fully baked. The only way to bake it is you leave one side on the coals and that side starts getting baked, and then you flip it over and then that side gets baked. And so too, Ephraim are just like this cake. If someone doesn't take note of it and doesn't turn it over, so it's going to get burnt. So too, Ephraim, if they don't take time to look at themselves, like someone who doesn't look at that cake when it's on the fire, and take a look, hey, what type of life are we leading? They're going to be like that cake that's completely burnt. Achilu zarim kocho. Strangers devoured their wealth. Koch could mean strength. Koch could also mean wealth, because wealth is an expression of strength. So, achilu zarim kocho, strangers, the enemy nations will come and consume their might, consume their monetary wealth. Vehu lo yada. And he won't be cognizant of that. Gam seva zare kabo. Vehu lo yada. And they're going to suddenly become old. Gam seva. Zarekabo, God will throw within him an old spirit. They won't have the strength to stand up against the enemy. Vehu lo yada, and he won't take note. He's not taking note. Vehu lo yada is said in the future tense, but really it means in the present tense. Hosea says, I'm warning you, the time will come. The enemies will take your wealth. The time will come when you'll be like an old man. You won't have the strength to stand up to them. Vehu lo yada, but you're not willing to take note. You're not willing to listen to me. Ve'ana geon Yisrael bifanav. Geon is the pride. The pride of Israel will be subdued before their own eyes. They will see how their pride is put down. Ve'lo shavu el Adonai Eloheim ve'lo vikshu bechol zot. In spite of all the destruction they've already suffered, the destruction, as we've discussed many times, it didn't happen overnight. God had one tribe, two tribes, three tribes, four tribes exiled. It happened in stages. The eastern side of the Jordan, then the northern tribes. As the destruction was coming, they didn't take note. They didn't learn the lesson. Vayhi Ephraim ki yonafota in lev. Ephraim, the northern tribes. Oh, you know what? We'll pick up over here next week, Bezachim. Okay. Thank you.